Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. It's Wednesday. You know what time it is. You know what's going on. We are here live here at SEC Media Days. Normally, it would be Rhino taking care of the ship for us today, but today I've upgraded today. No offense, Rhino. I love you. But I got Houston McDavid over here on my side. He'll make sure everything works great for us today. We are brought to you by the good folks over at the Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau. Visit Vicksburg.com, my hometown in the great state of Mississippi. But I am in the great state of Texas today, live here on Radio Row at SEC Media Days. And it is the Mississippi State's day in front of the cameras here. Later on in the show, I'm going to be joined by Mississippi State offensive lineman Albert Reese. Looking forward to talking to the big man about Mississippi State football and about how does a guy from Canada end up in Starkville, Mississippi? Want to find out about that. That's going to be a lot of fun. And we have plenty to talk about on this day. But we got to start with baseball. I know it's SEC Media Days. I know it's the unofficial start of the college football season. But baseball is the topic here at Mississippi State as the MLB draft has come and gone. And now we have a really good idea of what this Mississippi State baseball team is going to look like in 2025. And I think it's two players who were either drafted late or not drafted that are really the real focus for me. And we'll start with the guy who wasn't drafted, surprisingly so, and that's Hunter Hines. Hunter Hines to not be drafted, I was very surprised by that. I know he had a down season by his standards this past year, but this is a guy who is a in today's MLB, a time where you are constantly looking at guys who they basically just hit home runs or strike out. Well, that's what the Hunter Hines kind of is, and I was surprised he didn't get drafted. I'll just put it that way. And now he's made the announcement that he's coming back to Mississippi State for his senior season and a chance to become Mississippi State's all-time home run king and supplant Rafael Palmeiro in that spot. That's huge for Mississippi State. Just putting it in mildly, Hunter Hines going into the transfer portal, he would have been one of the top five transfers available in college baseball. So for State to get him back when they had basically conceded that he would not be returning to Mississippi State is absolutely huge for the Bulldogs. It really solidifies the middle of their lineup, and it gives them some more depth. When you look at the guy they brought in, Stallman from Campbell, who you thought was going to be your starting first baseman, now you have an option with him. Can he play in the outfield? Could he be a DH? Now Noah Sullivan, can he just DH? What are you going to do with those guys? You've got some options that you didn't have a season ago for Mississippi State. So that getting Hines back is absolutely huge for Mississippi State. Now, they did take a big loss, and that is David Mershon. Drafted in the 18th round by the Angels, he's made it clear he's going to go ahead and sign that contract. That's going to be a low ball offer from the Angels. There's no getting around that. What that tells you is this. David Mershon was ready for his collegiate career to be over. And there was no NIL package. There was no amount of persuasion from Chris Lemonis that was going to change that. He was ready to move on from Starkville and begin his rise to hopefully to the major leagues. Great player for Mississippi State. Him coming back would have been massive for the Bulldogs. As it is, you've got to try to reshuffle things a little bit in the middle of the infield, and you got to stay in the transfer portal on top of some guys. We'll see if they're able to bring in some more guys. You know, even the portal, people get confused sometimes. They think, oh, the portal's closed. You know, what are you going to do? The portal is closed to go in. It is. The portal is never, ever, ever, ever closed to go out. So for the Bulldogs to lose Mershon is tough, but you've got Pulliam there in the middle of the infield. You've got Dylan Cup. You should be okay. I can't get my computer unplugged from this internet thing. That's annoying. So I thought by and large the draft was okay for State. You know, they lost Dante Norai. They lost Conrad Kaysen. So those are the only two signees that they lost. Thank you. See, look what Houston did for me. That guy, I tell you, the absolute GOAT. They lose the two signees. You knew that you were losing Gerangelo. Gerangelo, 15th pick overall, the first ever switch pitcher taken in the first round of the MLB draft. He heads off to Seattle. Dakota Jordan to my San Francisco Giants. And what a interesting situation that was for Dakota Jordan. Fell a lot in the draft due to the fact that his agent, Scott Boras, made it clear, like, this is our number and we're not moving. And it was a price some teams just didn't want to pay. The Giants were able to do it strictly because of two things. They drafted a fourth-year senior who had no eligibility left in the first round, James Tibbs from Florida State. They did not have a second and third round pick to have to pay. So they had a little extra money in that bonus pool. They were able to meet that price. And in doing so, the Giants picked up a first round player, a guy who was rated in the top 30 prospects in the draft, and they got him in the fourth round. So as a Giants fan, I'm ecstatic. As a Mississippi State fan, you thought there was a fleeting moment there where you thought Dakota Jordan might come back for another season, and that would have turned into a huge deal for Mississippi State. He would have been preseason SEC Player of the Year in all likelihood. But that said, we still have to find some things to get to as far as Mississippi State goes in the pitching department. They got to maybe sort of solidify the middle of that infield now with Mershon gone. But by and large, when you look at this team and you look at where they were from a standpoint, you know, a few weeks ago, when, you know, quite frankly, in the transfer portal, they weren't having a lot of success. They built up a little momentum. They've been able to find some guys and some good pieces to come in. And now it looks like you've got a team that's going to be able to compete in the SEC next year. Are they going to be a top four team in the SEC next year? Are they going to be able to compete with Tennessee and with what LSU looks like they're putting together and Florida, and, you know, Georgia's added some nice pieces? That's the thing about the SEC. Nobody's standing pat. Nobody's sitting there and just saying, okay, we're good. We don't need to worry about it. Everybody's looking to get better each and every week. But State has done a good job this offseason of putting themselves into a position of where they can compete and where they can be from a lineup standpoint and from a pitching standpoint going into 2025. And that's huge. That's huge for Mississippi State. Hines being back is one of the most surprising developments to me over the past few years. I've just been amazed that he didn't get drafted. This is a guy who, great power hitter. You know, he had a slump last year. He was down. There's no question about that. But he's a guy, when he gets at bats, he's going to have a lot of success. And I think he's due for a big, big bounce back year. You know, last year was an outlier. I think he'll be closer to 300 this year. He'll be around 20 home runs, and he's going to be a big piece for Mississippi State and what they want to do this year on the baseball diamond. So Chris Lamona he's got to be happy, right? He's got to be thinking right now, what, you know, can I get this team back to where it belongs? Can I get this team back to hosting? Can I get this team back to Omaha? You know, people get on me about the standard for Mississippi State baseball. Somebody tweeted at me yesterday. Let me see if I can find that tweet, because they nailed it. They absolutely nailed it. They're like, this is why Brian Haydad has standards for Omaha at Mississippi State. Brett Christensen, thank you for this, because I should have retweeted you. He says, you ever wonder why Brian Haydad has Omaha expectations for this program? Here it is. 11 guys off of this team were drafted. More than anybody else in the country, Mississippi State had drafted this past weekend. That's why my standard is high for Mississippi State baseball, and it's going to stay high. I'm not going to be one of these people who comes out and says, oh, they've only hosted so many regionals since 1999, so, you know, they're doing as best they can. They're not. They're not. Omaha is the standard at Mississippi State baseball. And if that makes me unrealistic, if that makes me a Pollyanna, I'm just going to have to be that way. You know, they named the room where the team meets the Omaha room. They didn't name it the regional room. They didn't name it the super regional room. They didn't name it the, hey, we were pretty good this year room. It's the Omaha room. That means getting to the College World Series is the standard for Mississippi State baseball. And I've said it once and I'll say it again, and I'm going to put a little emphasis. I will guarantee you that if you ask Chris Lamonis what his standard is for Mississippi State baseball, he's going to agree with me more than anybody who says, oh, they did about the best they could last year. I guarantee it. So this program needs to be back in Omaha this year. They got a team, I think, that can get them there. They do need a couple of pieces here and there. They do need a little of this, that, and the other. But for the most part, the core is there that can be competitive in the SEC. And if you're competitive in the SEC, that means you're competitive nationally, and that means you can be a team that goes to Omaha. They need to figure out, you know, the non-conference piece of it. That was the problem last year. I think being in this tournament they're playing in Texas shows me that, hey, they've got some things figured out. They've got some they understand that they can't take those RPI hits that they did a season ago. So that's good news for Mississippi State. All in all, I like this team. I like where they're at. They still have a little bit left to do, but I think that, you know, this team next year, we're going to be talking about them being successful. I think we're going to be talking about them being a team that's in the hosting discussion throughout the season. And I don't think it'll be a surprise like it was this past year. So I like where they're at. I know you guys are like, well, he's like, he likes Mississippi State. I like it. It's, yeah, it's, they're good. They're going to be okay. I feel pretty good about things where they are right this second. We got a great show lineup for you here. We're here from SEC Media Days. We're going to get back to football when we come back. We're going to talk to Albert Reese. Albert, Mississippi State offensive lineman. I was talking to him earlier, and Joel Coleman lost him somehow. I asked Joel, Mississippi State associate AD, and of course, my good friend. I was like, Joel, how do you lose a 6'7", 300-pound Canadian in the middle of Texas? But he's found him. We're going to talk to him in just a little bit. We'll get a lot of information from him. Great day here at SEC Media Days. If you miss anything on Sports Talk Mississippi, definitely go back and check it out. Our conversations with Blake Shape and John Lewis and, of course, the coach, Jeff Levy. We'll be back in just a minute here on Thunder and Lightning, Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
You called down the thunder, well, now you got it.
Back here on Thunder and Lightning, Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad here at SEC Media Days. We're brought to you by Visit Vicksburg, the Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau. VisitVicksburg.com. I'm joined now by Mississippi State offensive lineman Albert Reese. Albert, everybody here today, they're doing all these different shows. They're doing all the, you know, they're talking to Alabama people and Auburn people. You are on the only show on this entire building that is Mississippi State top to bottom.
Really?
So you got that going for you today. So I'm glad to have you join me here today. The first question I think that anybody has to ask you is, how do you get to Starkville, Mississippi from the Great White North?
I've gotten the question a bunch. Well, I decided to move to Florida when I was 17 to broaden my recruiting horizon. You know, I got a good amount of offers. This was one of them late in the year, and I decided to commit.
You have had three different offensive line coaches now here at Mississippi State. I was talking to John Lewis earlier, and, you know, he's the guy. You guys have been here through all these changes we've had to go through, the loss of Mike Leach, Zach Arnett's time here at Mississippi State, now with Jeff Levy. You know, as a college athlete, how do you compartmentalize all of that and say, all right, this is what we're doing now, and I can't think about what we were doing then. I got to move forward with what we're doing now.
Just got to, like, simply putting your past in your past and just moving on to the next segment. I mean, change is inevitable, good or bad, doesn't matter, it's going to happen. So you just got to kind of forget about it.
You were recruited to be an offensive tackle in an air raid system, and you were thinking, okay, I'm going to be pass blocking, you know, 40, 50 times a game. Now you're in Jeff Levy's offense, which, despite the fact that it's a very explosive passing offense, and it's hard, it's a running game offense. You know, what are you like as a run blocker? Are you a get down in the dirt and get nasty kind of offensive lineman?
Yeah, that's what I try to be. I mean, that's basically the reason anybody would want to play offensive lineman, so that's what you got to try to do.
When you think about this offense and Blake Shapen and all these new faces, you're really, I mean, if I were to say draw up a starting 11 today, you might be the only guy that was recruited to Mississippi State as a high school kid that I would put in that starting 11. That puts you in a unique position of being maybe a leader on this offensive line, despite the fact that you haven't played that much. Do you have a leadership role in this offense? You know, what is your voice like in the huddle?
I feel like I do have a leadership role. Like, I'm not a crazy talker. I've never have been, but, you know, just I did try to lead by example, and once in a while, like, I'll, you know, throw a few words in there, but that's the way.
How was the spring for you in terms of learning this offense and learning what your role is going to be? You're a guy who's played at different positions on the offensive line here at Mississippi State. Are you feel like you're settling into a position now, or are you still going to have that versatility?
The versatility will always be with me. I mean, like, I don't mind. I'll play whatever. But, yeah, this spring was crucial for being able to play, you know, guard and tackle. So it was productive.
Tell me about the new guys on the offensive line. I mean, four potential starters with Marlon and with Jacoby, with McKaylin and with Ethan Miner. You know, these are guys who come to Starkville from different places. Some of them may have had some knowledge. Obviously, Pounders was recruited here. When those guys are coming together, you know, offensive line is about cohesion. It's about chemistry. You got to all be working together. Do y'all have that already at this point?
Absolutely. We've had it since spring, to be honest. Like, even before spring football started, we've all been on the same page. We've all been good friends and hanging out, doing stuff outside of football.
Where do you guys go to eat?
Shoot, anywhere, really.
You got to have a favorite place in Starkville?
Me personally, I really like walk-ons.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you were going to try to find like some big portions. So, we're not going to like the joint or anything, and just telling them to put the brisket on the plate for me.
Yeah, no, that's one. That one might be up there too.
That's a good one.
The same level, yeah.
That's a good one. You see me in there every now and then.
So. Yeah, no, that place is awesome.
When you think about your time here at Mississippi State and the amount of change that you've had to go through, I mean, they talk about college is the time to grow up, but when you talk about you're losing your head coach and you then another head coach comes in and then another head coach comes in. You had to grow up pretty fast here at Mississippi State. Do you feel a level of maturity that maybe the average college football player doesn't because of all the change and all the things you've had to go through here?
Absolutely, because as tough as change can be, I mean, like I said earlier, it's inevitable, and it allows you to be tougher mentally because, you know, if you get comfortable and used to one thing, I mean, you know, there's, you know, when change does hit you in life, which it definitely will, you know, it hits you that much harder, so... I mean, it's just the way that things are. You got to go through change.
What are you looking forward to this college football season? Obviously, the chance to get to play more regularly is going to be at the top of your list. But, I mean, this is such a historic college football season, and fans are super excited about it. What are you as a player excited about?
I'm excited for, you know, the conference expanding. I'm excited for more teams being able to be in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. That's something people ask me about all the time. Like, can Mississippi State be a college football playoff team? And I would have said in a 4-team playoff, it would have been really, really hard because you got to go undefeated almost to do that. But now you've got some wiggle room there. If you lose a game here or there, you can get there. When this team talks about goals, do they talk about the college football playoff even here in year one with Jeff Lebby?
Absolutely. Yeah. That's one of the biggest things that, you know, inspires us is you'll just make it to the playoffs and just have a good year.
What does the offseason look like for an offensive lineman? You know, this is the time of year where Coach Shaud Williams has got a little bit more of your time than he would normally. What is you know, a typical day look like for you in the offseason?
Running, everything gets done in the morning, so we'll have a run, and then shortly after we'll have a lift and, you know, a lot of conditioning mm-hmm. during that.
Which is not the offensive line's favorite thing in the world to do.
Not always, but it's got to be done.
In this Mississippi heat, I was talking to somebody earlier that said, the humidity and you aren't best friends.
Nah. I love the heat. Absolutely love heat. But, I mean, humidity can get to you sometimes because even when you're not playing football, you're still sweating. Doesn't matter if you go to the grocery store, walk into your car, you know, you're going to be sweating.
It's one of those things you walk out. I wear glasses, so I walk outside, and when they fog up right away, that's when I know I'm in for a long day.
Oh, no kidding. That's so brutal.
I do have one other question for you, and I have a few more questions, but one's been bothering me. And maybe I'm being stereotypical here, so forgive me. Are you a hockey guy?
I am as of recently.
Okay.
Yeah, my Edmonton Oilers did pretty good this year.
Is that the area of Canada you were from?
I'm from Edmonton, Red City, yeah.
I have been for years saying I need to get into hockey. And every year I put it off. And then watching the Stanley Cup this year, I was just like, this is – why am I not a bigger hockey fan? Why do I not watch – so you're an Oilers fan.
I am not – oh, yeah, big time. So, I mean, I've always, like, watched them here and there. They've always been my team even before I was a designated hockey fan because mm-hmm. I'm from there. But, like, I'm going to watch –
you have to be because you're Canadian. You have to be
a
hockey fan.
Yeah.
So I have an Oilers shirt, but I'm not an Oilers fan. You're saying I should get on board? Is this a good time?
Oh, absolutely.
If I tweet at you and ask Oilers questions, you'll answer them?
You're going to have to give me some time, too, because I'm new myself.
We're going to figure this out, though.
Yeah.
We're going to
get it together.
It's McDavid, right? That's the stupid
best player in the world, yeah.
He's really good.
He's
fun to watch. But they lost that game seven. I was just like,
yeah.
I felt like they had it for a second there, and I was just, and they couldn't hold on. So,
I think it was tied 1-1, and then, yeah.
So we're going to watch some hockey this year is what you're telling me.
Absolutely.
All right. I'm going to get in. This is the year for Brian Haydad, hockey fan. I did it with soccer like 10 years ago, and now I'm going to get into hockey.
So right on.
We'll see if I can make that happen. Mississippi State is a place. You were talking earlier about the fans, and you know what fires you up is playing for the fans. Mississippi State fans are known for being passionate. We love the cowbells. We love our team. What is it with you and the Mississippi State fan base? What's the connection that that brought you here, and what has sort of sustained that connection for you over the past few years?
Well, the main thing was, like, when I got here, like, you know, let's say, like, I'm with my friends at, you know, a restaurant or a grocery store or just really anywhere around town. I mean, it's a small town, so, like, a lot of people are going to recognize you and get to know you more than if we were located in a big city.
Mm-hmm. Not a lot to do in Starkville, you know, sometimes. I think it's underrated.
It's a tiny town, yeah.
It is tiny, but at the same time, there's plenty to do. But I don't know about you. Friday, I took the day off from this job. I took a PTO. Why did I do that? I'll be playing EA college football
really?
All day on Friday. Are you a gamer?
I'm back into it now. Yeah.
So have you gotten your stats and all that? Do you know what you are?
I played it for like 4 hours yesterday.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. Levy was in there saying that don't plan on playing that when camp starts.
No, he's absolutely right.
Is that something he's brought up before now? He's like, look, guys, I know you're going to be playing this game, but when we get to camp, we cannot be up until 3 in the morning playing video games.
He hasn't mentioned it yet, but I'm sure he'll address the team whenever you know, we have that fall camp meeting.
Yeah. when do y'all know when you report for camp yet?
I've heard it's the 30th or the 31st.
So what are those first couple of days of camp like for you? Is it just getting back to, like, I got to acclimate to being in pads again and doing what we're doing? Or do you just sort of get right back into it? Is it kind of like riding a bike?
I feel like this time around it'll definitely just be getting back into it because, you know, we start off in the spring, you know, understanding everything. And I just don't see us really losing that momentum that much, so it should be pretty smooth.
It should be a very interesting season. I'm looking forward to seeing this offense. I think you guys are gonna light up the scoreboard and make it an exciting time in Starkville. We'll see what happens, though. Albert Reese, the big man from Canada, Mississippi State football. Thanks for joining me, man. Really appreciate
it. Thank you. Hail State.
We'll be back in just a minute here on Thunder and Lightning, Super Talk Mississippi.
Experience thunder and lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
I am absolutely and completely thunderstruck.
Back here at SEC Media Days, pleased to be joined by man. This is a man that's hard to find. All right, I may have to show you the text that you have not answered.
Okay,
Jenny Patel, the hard count. On 3 Sports, one of the best college football podcasts out there. If you're not listening to that, you're not as informed as you could be about our sport that we love more than anything else. Glad to have you join me here. This is a great event, and it kind of showcases the silliness of college football that we love.
Yeah,
that we enjoy. That's what makes the sport so great. When people talk about media days, sometimes you get the grouchers, and they're like, I don't know, I can't.
Yeah,
I'm not that kind of person.
And I appreciate that, because I think you made a great point there. Like, there's always that segment of the media day population that's like, nobody says anything, it's just a talking situation.
Right.
There's not, and it's like, man, this to me just means we're that much closer. Like, this is the unofficial, official start of everything in 2024. It's like, all right, we're here, like... Enjoy orientation. You know what I'm saying?
What do you plan to enjoy about the SEC this season? If I'm looking, you look ahead and you're saying that game's going to be great. That game, that player is going to be fantastic.
Man.
Is there something that stands out above all?
October 19th, Georgia at Texas.
That's it, everybody.
That's the one where you're like, because I was one of those guys too that on the front end I was like, man, realignment. I don't know if I can get behind it. Like, I would say at heart I'm a traditionalist when it comes to the college football world. So I love the old rivalries. I love the Pac-12. I love all that. But then when you look at that game, you're like, okay, I could get behind the expanded SEC. I could get behind seeing Oklahoma, LSU, Oklahoma, Tennessee, and stuff like that. So That's the one of the big ones, though, I'm fired up for.
You've got that in the SEC. You've got Oregon. Ohio State is the big one.
Yep.
For the Big Ten. Is there a Big 12 game that you just go, yeah, like Utah and Arizona, something like that?
Yeah, Utah, Arizona.
Which is a Pac-12 game, yeah, but exactly. It is what it is.
I think Utah, Kansas State. I think Utah, yeah. Arizona is not. Yeah, like you said, I don't think it's a Big 12 game. But Utah, Kansas State, I think that's, I want to say during that first third of the year, mm-hmm. and I think that'll have a ripple effect on the college football playoff. Like, we've talked so long about, well, if this team was in this conference, then they would have a totally different record. And now we're going to actually see with different teams how they stack up. But Utah's going to be a wagon, man. I'm excited to watch
that. I'm excited to watch that. That's my pick to win the Big 12. Jeff Levy here today at SEC Media Days. I've talked to some people about his offense, the veer and shoot. Mm-hmm. And it is – it's almost like a secret society of these guys.
Yeah.
They're very tight-lipped about it. They're very, you know, you can't really get them at a coaching clinic. And when you do, like, the room is packed because of these secrets of this offense. When you watch teams that run this offense, what stands out to you about, like, that's why this offense works?
I think you're able to really effectively, for lack of a more, like, in-depth answer, hide weaknesses mm-hmm. and accentuate strengths. And so one of the reasons why I loved the hire for Mississippi State was I don't think they probably have right now in the trenches what they need to win at the highest level.
Right.
Like, you're probably not going head up with Georgia or Bama or, you know, historically LSU and able to out big boy them. But when you say, okay, we're going to spread you out, we're going to get the ball out quick, we're going to just kind of pick and choose our matchups, and in that way it kind of changes the entire game for a team like Mississippi State and kind of changes the path for them. So kind of zigging where everyone else zags, and I think that makes them really effective.
I thought one thing, we talked to Blake Shapen earlier today, and he said, it doesn't matter how good you are defensively if you're not aligned.
Yeah.
And he said, we're going to get to the ball quickly. We're going to get on the huddle. We're going to snap it, and we're going to go. And it doesn't matter how good you are if you're out of position. And I had never really thought about it that way, but that is a very deep cut of why this offense works.
The secret sauce. And Blake Shapen, too, I think a lot of folks kind of just saw what happened at Baylor and kind of lump him into the lack of success they had. But, I mean, I think back to the very first time we got to see Blake Shapen on a national stage in the Big 12 title game. Mm-hmm. He walked out there against Oklahoma State, and you think, okay, backup quarterback, Baylor's kind of a wide zone, run the ball team. Mm-hmm. He went out there, he was just
slinging it.
Just slinging it around the yard.
And that was an Oklahoma State team. Had they won, they were going to the college football playoff.
Absolutely.
And that was a big upset and a good win. And they went on, you know, got hurt in that game and couldn't play in the Sugar Bowl where they beat Ole Miss. I just needed to bring that up. It was, I just wanted to bring it up. This show, this market, it worked.
There you go.
Mississippi State defensively, though, you know as well as I do. I mean, questions isn't even the right word.
Sure.
Because I would struggle to fill out a depth chart. And I cover the team on a daily basis. And I would tell you that I'm not entirely sure who the starting 11 are going to be defensively. Is there a number? And if I said State is ranked X in total defense, that you say they didn't make a bowl?
I think if you're outside of the top 50 to top 60, mm-hmm. then I think we got real problems. If you can be within that top 50, there may be a discussion as to how good was the offense. Because mm-hmm. I think that's my big thing of Mississippi State defensively. It's not can you be in the top 25, mm-hmm. can you keep teams at 22 points a game. It's can you be effective enough to where the offense can actually mm-hmm. matter in a football game. And we're not having to get into this shootout every single week. And Mississippi State, I think offensively with Levy and Shapen, they'll be good enough to win some drag races, but there's only so much gas in the tank.
I've been asked a lot today about rivalries and, you know, with Oklahoma, Texas coming in and where did the Red River rivalry? You're an outsider to the Egg Bowl, obviously.
Sure.
What do you think of when you think about the Egg Bowl?
I think of Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
I think of
– not this year.
I know I wish, but it still comes to mind. I think of intense passion. And I also think, true to most college football rivalries, you just – during the week of breaking that game down, you go to the folder of, you know, the variables you use to break it down. You delete logic from that folder.
Especially this one. Especially the Egg Bowl.
So, I mean, it's a beautiful thing. It makes zero sense 90% of the time. And it's one of the great things about college football.
Levy has connections to so many coaches in this conference. He coached under Heupel. He coached under Kiffin. He coached with Brent Venables. How much does that go into – I think people overplay the whole, well, he knows his tendencies.
Right,
thing.
Right.
I think that's not really a thing.
Sure.
But it has to play some role for him. Is there a level of intelligence, I guess I should say, that he can gain from having worked with those guys before?
Sure. I think more than tendency is probably familiarity of, okay, I kind of know – the general flavors he's going to roll with. And in that same vein, I know how to disrupt those flavors, or disrupt, I guess, going back to that word tendency. So is it the end-all, be-all? Is it the trump card? Probably not, but I do think it at least allows your defense to start on maybe second base as opposed to having to try to get on first.
Mississippi State's schedule plays out in a way that they should be 3-0 when they play Florida in week four. They play Eastern Kentucky. They'll win the FCS game. It's tough going to Arizona State, but that's not a great team, and you should be able to win that game.
Sure.
You know, when they lost Rashada, I thought, okay, State can get that one. Toledo was a good G5 team a year ago, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I think State's going to lose to a MAC team. And then they should be 3-0 playing Florida. If State wins that game and they're 4-0, there's that moment where you're like, maybe something's going to happen.
Yeah.
They'll go to Texas undefeated.
Yeah.
What for you would define success for Mississippi State in year one? Is it just as simple as if they go to a bowl, they had a good year?
I think I think winning a bowl game too matters.
Okay.
I agree with that.
That's something people don't talk about enough, JD, is that there is a huge difference between 7-6 and 6-7.
Oh, it's massive. I mean, even just optically being able to say that team won 7 bowl games and saying, okay, they got momentum going into next year, like, I think that's huge. And I know that in the new era of college football, the trendy thing to say is bowl games don't matter. These many guys opt out. I think in bowl games, in a lot of ways, you're going to see teams culture because you see the fact that you're down to your second or third guys. And when you get down to that level, it's like, okay, who's bought in? Who's willing to go out there and give it their all for a bowl game that, again, on paper, a lot of folks say don't matter. And who's also prepared and has the depth to be able to compete in the bowl game. So I understand the thought behind them not having the same impact as before, but I think winning a bowl game changes your entire offseason. The momentum is huge.
For a guy like you who's not, you know, micro-focused on one team, how hard is it to cover a team like Mississippi State where there's so many new guys? There's not like a guy you can point and go, well, he's been there for 3 years and it's finally his time, like with Jackson Dart at Ole Miss. How hard is that for you to try to find those storylines and keep State relevant on your podcast?
Yeah, I think you try and find the major puzzle pieces, right? So the Jeff Lebby and the Blake Shapen and the background he has in the SEC, all the things that we kind of touched on, you sort of try and start from a blank slate for the most part, because that's kind of what Mississippi State will be in a lot of sense. And so the fun part, you know, with being able to cover so many different teams is you kind of keep these running definitions, and the definition of Mississippi State right now is very much so undefined. So in that way, it's kind of a new era of Mississippi State football, and I'm excited to see what they become.
You talked at length on your podcast the other day about Mike Leach and the Hall of Fame, and that's been a sort of a pet cause here on this show.
Sure.
And we've talked about it. We only got a couple minutes left, but your thoughts, maybe in 60 seconds, why Mike Leach belongs in the Hall of Fame?
Mike Leach belongs in the Hall of Fame because, to my understanding, the criteria to be in the Hall of Fame is to honor the greats, to honor those who have made an impact on the game. Mike Leach essentially was one of the founding fathers of an offense that you see across every fall Saturday right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think when you talk about different statistics as to what is going to keep him out or get him in, like, the thing that I love right now is that guys like you and me, and then also head coaches that have access to Twitter, are getting on social media and saying he should be in the Hall of Fame. This is a bad look. Grown men don't like being embarrassed. You know, I mean, I can attest to that as well. I don't like being embarrassed. And so the Hall of Fame is being embarrassed right now, and I think that ultimately change it.
I agree with you. I think if they don't put him in, there's going to be you're going to see a coach say, I won't go in.
Yeah. Much like the Heisman with Johnny Manziel and Reggie Bush.
Exactly.
And, you know, very conveniently.
Yeah, they made it happen. So, J.D. Piquel, the hard count with J.D. again, that's, I can't stress enough, as if you want to know more about our great sport, this is a podcast you need to listen to. Thanks so much, man.
Hey, I really appreciate having me on. I appreciate y'all allowing me on the show after missing a few texts. So, thank you for that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for that.
We'll be back just after this. We are live here at SEC Media Days. Back in just a second.
Mississippi.
Listen up! There is a storm coming!
Let's wrap things up here on Thunder and Lightning Super Talk Mississippi, brought to you by our good friends over at the Visit Vicksburg, the Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau. Visit Vicksburg.com. Check their out their event calendar. That's where you'll find out all the great stuff happening in the city of Vicksburg, my hometown. And when you're there, you know, I would not go into a local business and say Brian sent you, but you can. You never know. It might work out. So, great show here today. I want to thank Albert Reese for joining me. Really a lot of fun to talk to him. Looking forward to seeing what he can do. He's a player I've had my eye on for the past couple of years at Mississippi State, because I know that, you know, from a measurable standpoint, he looks like an NFL guy. We'll see if he plays like one this season. And really want to thank J.D. Pickell. Got him kind of last minute and said, hey, you want to do 10 minutes? He's like, yeah, let's do it. And the main reason I want to talk to him, besides the fact that he's one of the leading voices in college football right now, is his thoughts on Mike Leach. He was very adamant and very passionate about that with Mike Leach. I was able to relay my story of Leach being at my home before he passed away and what that meant to me. So, really good stuff. We're wrapping up a great week here. We got one more day here at SEC Media Days, but the coverage has been outstanding. Houston McDavid obviously taking care of us with all the engineering. But Richard Cross and Michael Bort, you know, we like to have fun at their expense sometimes. We like to maybe needle them a little bit. Richard more so than Borky, because Borky's, you know, not as bad as Richard is. He's sitting right there, too. But the coverage has been outstanding. We have had so many great interviews. We've talked to everybody of consequence here at Media Days. And it's just been a fantastic time. So I really want to thank those guys. Next week, we're going to talk to somebody of a lot of consequence here on Thunder and Lightning. Mississippi State Director of Athletics Zach Selman will join me for an interview. We'll talk to him about, I mean, it's been a while since I've talked to Zach Selman, and a lot has happened in Mississippi State. The man, I'm going to tell him this, I think that Joe Biden should hire him, or maybe Donald Trump, because that man creates jobs. People are getting jobs in Starkville because of Zach Selman. He just keeps coming up with all these different positions and filling them. So we'll talk to Zach next week. We'll talk a lot more football. We should be seeing, I think we're only, you know, what is today? Today's the 17th. I think we are like 2 weeks away from camp opening up here at Mississippi State. And that at that point, guys, we are into football. We aren't worried about anything else at that point. So, great stuff. One other Mississippi State note I want to pass along to you guys is, or not a Mississippi State note, is a Thunder and Lightning kind of note. So I want to thank everybody who showed up at the Thunder and Lightning Catfish Tour at our four stops this year. We really enjoy doing that. Last year was a lot of fun doing that. This year there was a lot more of people showing up and saying, yeah, I wanted to come meet you guys, and I heard about this on Thunder and Lightning. I can't put into words how much that means to me and how much appreciation I have for you guys out there taking care of us. So really, really want to thank you. What a great week here at SEC Media Days. I was talking to JD there. I am definitely not an SEC media grouch. I am not one of these people who's like, oh, God, SEC media. I love coming here. It really feels like it's almost like vacation, even though I work longer. We work longer these days. You know, Borky's the only one that does any real work on this show. But I was telling somebody, like, I work, you know, 3 hours on a show, and then I do an hour podcast, and that's my day. I mean, these are, you know, it's not like I'm digging ditches here, but at the same time, I'm working 10, 11 hours a day here, and I don't mind, though. I enjoy it. I enjoy hanging out with my friends. Richard's right over there. He's my friend. That's my friend, Richard Cross. People all the time are like, do you really like Richard? Yeah, he's great. One of the top guys I know. What? No, I don't want that. You're not that great. You're not that great. So, anyway, what are we sitting on time? I feel like I'm lagging over here, Houston. Oh God, I gotta keep going. Anyway, we're just a train wreck at this point. What? Long week first. And the best part is Borky and I, when we fly out of here, it's gonna be an early riser. On that, all the jokes y'all have ever made about me being asleep till 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock in the morning, you get to take all those away when I get on that plane, because I'll be back in Mississippi pretty early when that happens. So again, SEC Media Days. I think that our show on Thursday is going to be fantastic. We got a lot of great stuff. We're going to be talking about Texas A&M, talking about Auburn. We need to cover those teams. I believe we have an interview with Peter Burns of the SEC Network from that day, so that's always a lot of fun to talk to him. Just so much great stuff. And that's the beauty of SEC Media Days is you get to talk to these guys and you haven't seen them in a long time, and you get to enjoy talking about college football, which is the thing I'd rather talk about more than anything else. I think I did a pretty good job on our interview with Ross Dellinger. Like I was impressed at how much I was able to, you know, come across as interested in what he normally reports on, because I'm not, and you guys know that very well. Is there anything else Mississippi State happening? Now, basketball, not a lot going on right now, obviously. Baseball, I'm still surprised at the Mershon news that we talked about earlier. 18th round, I really thought he would want to come back to college because he could be a top 10 round pick next year and get a much bigger bonus. But I guess it's just not meant to be. All right, next week, don't forget, Zach Selman will join us here on Thunder and Lightning. We'll do that next week. One more day of SEC Media Days coverage here in Dallas. Please check that out tomorrow on Sports Talk Mississippi. Until then, I'm Brian Haydad for Houston McDavid running the show for me today. Talk to you guys next week here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.